Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is wrapped up in the act of the cross. We accept that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But knowing that our old man was crucified with him, and that our body of sin is done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, as Romans 6:6 says, is a truth that we often don't grasp, because we still live in these fleshly bodies. So join in the conversation as we discuss how the cross provides complete freedom. You know, Janie, these challenging conversations have really challenged me to grow, challenged my complacency, challenged my ideas, and challenged my heart.
Well, that's getting us uncomfortable with our comfortability of being in the box. And as the Lord was went outside the camp to be worshiped, so we need to think outside the box and not let general traditional Christianity hold us down where God has set us free.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk to people about a lot of gifts of the Spirit. You can talk to them about servicing and working in a Sunday school class or bus ministry or youth ministry or whatever. But you talk to them about how they would like to make the cross known, and you kind of get that deer in the headlight look from them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to witness.
Yeah.
And praise God for anybody that will share Jesus Christ. But there is so much more that the Lord has given us. And if someone was to ask you, Sharon, you can have your assurance of your salvation. You can have a dynamic life. You can be safety from the enemy as the Lord directs your affairs. Peace that the world can't give. Be joyful, be courageous. You can have all the virtues and experiential living and holiness. Wouldn't you think everybody would want to jump on the bandwagon?
Oh my goodness. I think about that and that's like, oh, that's who I want to be. Those are the values and the virtue that I want to express.
And isn't it something to know that that has already all been provided as a gift? So then, why do we, or some of us, continue to run from it, to get physical and spiritual burnout, even resent people who talk to you about the cross? Maybe to help everybody that has joined us today, maybe if we can put a two-liner, I don't have a one-liner for this,
uh-oh,
but maybe, but maybe I can put a two-liner to it. We have in Romans 6, the crucified with Christ, and that seems to be one of the most difficult truth.
Yeah,
I would say concepts, but it's more than a concept. It is the truth, but we
right.
need to understand it. So I'm going to make a two-liner here, and that is, on the cross, he was crucified for me. And on that cross, I am crucified with him. So crucified for me gives me deliverance from sin's condemnation. I will never have to know that second death of being condemned to the lake of fire.
Right.
My sins have been forgiven and by the blood. And then the Lord says, but I've gone further than that. I know your weakness. And so I have crucified your flesh for you. And then I've taught you how I want you to express that in a daily walk and a daily living. But most of us, that's where we get our hang up. And so being crucified with Christ then offers us freedom from being under the prisoner of sin's power. And those are all sounding like very nice spiritual phrases.
Mm-hmm.
So Sharon, do you have an example that you would want to bring out? Random. I promise the audience we're not speaking about anybody in particular.
Maybe me. we'll use ourselves as the guinea pigs, so to speak. But do you have an example to see where we have been delivered from sin's power? We have the freedom. We're not in bondage. And then we turn around and we get irritated, aggravated. We use our mouth, our tongue unwisely. We really see each other from our weak flesh. Rather than being a new creature in Christ where all things are new.
Mm-hmm.
And when we choose to see the weakness in the person and camp out on that, do we really realize that we're saying, God, maybe you didn't really complete this person the way you said you did?
Well, I think a great example is mess with my kids, you mess with me. You know, I can say... And I think anybody who has kids can say, you know, don't mess with my kids. You can mess with me. You can talk about me. You can bully me. But you don't bully my kids.
Okay,
you just bring out the mama bear.
So what does that bring out in you? Does that bring the love of Christ that you want to sacrifice for this person?
No.
What does it bring out?
But what if that person that has done something to your kids is just a weak Christian, then you turn around and attack them, then God's going,
yes.
Don't mess with my kid.
Yes.
You know, I'll deal with my kid the way I need to deal with them.
And so probably a good passage that would help us out here is in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. You know, a lot of verses get overlooked because there's the verse. And so the verse before and after, don't get equal billing.
Oh, yes.
But it was talking in 16 about not knowing any man after the flesh. So let's just say that I recognize that somebody is operating in a fleshly capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to be their judge. I don't know whether I'm not going to give the Sergeant Friday, okay, are you ignorant of this fact? Have you not got your head on? Have you not been in the scripture? I'm not going to go through the 20 questions, but I am going to observe. And the first thing the Spirit tells me to do is, if I've given you the discernment to see that this person is wallowing in some mire, whether it is in innocence or whatever the root reason would be, you're to bring that before me. I have given you discernment to see that, not to beat upon them or even to confront them.
We tend to want to run and confront and tell them what we see in their poor, pitiful lives.
And there, you know, and there's another thing even more subtle.
Shame on you.
Yes. There was something that occurred this week, apart from here, but a group of people really had a pure thinking about a truth about someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been given information on good foundation, but it wasn't correct. But they had formulated an opinion about this person that reflected badly on them, even though they were totally innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But the information they had got had caused them to come to a wrong conclusion.
Right.
And I thought, man, that's...
I think we do that so often.
Yes. And rather than going and saying, okay, if these facts are true and it's causing me to think negatively about my brother or my sister in Christ, then I need to back up and go to the Lord and say, Lord...
Right.
Show me where the enemy is coloring the facts. Show me where the enemy is playing a part or just my own wretched, self-sufficient opinion.
And I think that's part of realizing who we are in Christ and the cross and the eternal value that we have today with the cross is so important in those little moments when we find ourselves thinking negative, beginning to feel negative, you know, that we can train our brain.
Renew our mind.
To think differently. Mm-hmm. And that is part of renewing your mind. That is exactly the definition. You got to start thinking different and recognizing when you are thinking unscripturally.
Yes. Yes.
Where's your scriptural basis for that, for that emotion? Where's your scriptural basis for that thought?
Well, there is a portion of scripture, portions of scriptures that help hold me in check. And this is kind of another one-liner. But there is no work of sanctification. And sanctification is being set apart unto God for God's purpose and will as He wants to use us. There is no work of sanctification beyond the grave. Now, I'm not saying that in heaven we are not going to continue to learn, because we are going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be worshiping. But sanctification is part of the preparation of getting ready to rule and reign as our destiny throughout the millennial, if you take that approach, or throughout the new heavens and the earth. And if I thought that this is a place where I have to go to school, mm-hmm. to learn that, to, let's say,
like boot camp.
Like boot camp. So we need to stop and say that, and I don't really like Santa Claus. Please forgive me if I've offended anybody there. But Santa Claus makes lists, quote unquote, according uh-huh. to the fallacy of our traditions. Uh-huh. But there's also lists being recorded in heaven of what we choose to do daily with our time, with our energy, with our mind, with our heart, with our motives, that's being recorded. And I think if we could have a glimpse of the eternal veil pulled back, and we could see the list that is being compiled, that will one day be a list that will be used to say, how did you spend your time for Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. With your own ambitions, with your own seeking self-sufficiency, even in a ministry work?
Well, and, you know, that's why the Bible says everything that you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. I mean, it's all good. It's all listed there. It's going to be revealed. You can't do those things in secret and not have them revealed.
Well, the biggest audience Sharon, you and I will ever have will probably be those that join us at the Bema seat. Yeah. We do our walk mm-hmm. up to hopefully be able to have the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant.
That is our hope.
But that is something that we have been given, mm-hmm. the freedom from the power of sin and Satan, that they can try to be a hindrance. But if we will go to the Word of God and accept what God said, I have freed you from that, mm-hmm. then when anything negative in our thinking or our passing on a little tidbit comes to our mind, then again, we should bring every thought captive and make sure that we don't pass that on. Because you know what? We can have some bad information and we get that information corrected. But then do we go tell everybody else that we pass that on to, mm-hmm. oh, listen, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I ask your forgiveness for letting you think something about this person that was not true.
Right.
No, we just get ourselves straight, but then we leave the trash with everybody else that was a part of that multi-conversation.
Right.
So we really need to realize that we've been freed from never having to know separation for God from all eternity. We've been given a home to where there will be complete freedom from pain, anything negative. We get to see our loved ones again, and we'll never have to know what we call a second death, which would be condemnation into the lake of fire. That's a bundle of blessings that we should be waking up rejoicing every morning.
That's an eternal value that we can take advantage of today.
Yes, yes.
And really, there's the question that's always asked, you know, well, once we're saved, why does God leave us here?
Oh, yes. And there are some good answers to that. Because if it was just to get out of hell and into heaven, then, hey, it was accomplished. We need to get taken up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other things that the Lord said doesn't happen instantaneously in maturity that we are left here. And Galatians 4:19 just says, my little children, whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So even though we've been delivered from sin's power and condemnation, we still have to have Christ formed in us. It's not a natural thing. You told me one time that when you were accepted Christ as your Savior, that, well, put it into your own words.
That I thought that everything I did would now be Christ, would now be perfect, would be not sin, would be, everything would be God-driven.
And so whatever you did, whether you had the wisdom or the knowledge or not, it must be directly out of heaven, directed by God.
Right. And it wasn't. And I constantly found myself in a roller coaster relationship with him because I could do things right for a while. And then I'd mess up and think, well, I must not have been saved.
Uh-huh.
I must not have been saved. I must not be saved because God's not working through me.
And so then
not understanding that it was, I had to go through a learning process to learn
growth.
How to be, to have Christ formed in me.
Right.
Right.
Well, and then we can go to another scripture, 2 Timothy 2:3, and it says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then later in the chapter, it explains that the reason this command has been given is because it's necessary to qualify us to reign with him. Most of us are not natural born leaders.
No.
We need some training in that.
And none of us are born perfect.
Oh, no.
So we do have to learn some things along the way.
But when we talk about being a good soldier, that's where many Christians start to resent being approached with what the cross embraces. Salvation is such a wonderful, miraculous thing. Equally so with being crucified with Christ. But crucified with Christ still has a stigma of death. And mm-hmm. So we see crucified with Christ, we see that as horrid. That's mm-hmm. too difficult. I can't do that. I don't understand that.
And some of us resist because we don't want to die to ourselves.
That's right. We like our old flesh.
We like ourselves. We like our flesh. We like our desires.
And we need that significance. And mm-hmm. And what I found is that self can hide like a chameleon, change colors. And the Lord points one thing out to you and you confess it and you go, oh, what a relief, Lord. We're back on track. And, mm-hmm. you know, in 24 hours, you can find there's a color change because of a circumstance change. And it can lead you to defeat or discouragement. So we do know that we need to have some boot camp training. And as we then do respond by faith to what God said he's done.
Now, I'm sorry. Do you think that's why we are so not growing up? Because we're not getting some boot camp training?
Well,
are we not getting boot camp training in our Sunday school classes, in our pulpits? I mean, why aren't we growing up and understanding what the cross is?
Because the cross is the complete, entire centrality to freedom. And it is the chief object of the enemy to keep us confused and ignorant of the cross.
Okay.
That's why we went through the entities last week. It did defeat and overcome Satan. It did release us from his hold that he had on us. It did relieve us from being in bondage to the world system. It did relieve us from the sins, the actions, the attitudes that we do. It by the blood. And then the crucifixion says, but you've got to get rid of your old self, and you can't do it. So I've done it for you. I've paved the way. I've made the road smooth. Now, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have some speed bumps. It's not going to be just like having a piece of cake and it's all done. But that's where I'm training you for eternity. And then, my dear beloved child, remember that you are spiritually alive. You are an eternal creature. You are not fitted for earth. And so you're a little uncomfortable here, and you try to hang on to the comforts and the pleasures that you've known on earth. And they may not be wicked things. They may just be enjoyable things. But they fit under the term of idolatry. because they come in before the work of Jesus Christ being first place in our life.
So really, the boot camp training that we're not getting is because we're not discipling and mentoring.
That's right.
We are getting the understanding of Scripture, but we're not discipling and mentoring or getting discipled and being mentors.
And then none of this will come alive if we don't wait on the Spirit in silence. Mm. Wait, yeah. The Bible says to wait on God alone.
Yes.
And you stop and think how easy it is to just read a verse in the morning, maybe send up a couple of prayers of sincerity for people that you care about.
You know.
And then the pressures of the world hit.
You know, and we really rejected the old time. I mean, if we look at where our churches are going and where our society's going, we're really kind of pushing the old ways out and embracing new things.
You can get 75 people for a supper, and you can get 5 for a prayer meeting.
Exactly. And it didn't used to be like that.
No.
But the way that we are rejecting the old ways, we're also rejecting the older generation in our lives. And that older generation are the ones that can be mentors to us, that can encourage us. I mean, sitting right here, I can say, Janie Ratzliff, you have been my mentor. You have encouraged me. You have strengthened me. Through Christ, you have done those things.
Which is another way of saying, Janie, you have made me very uncomfortable.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what we need, is to get uncomfortable in our Christian walk. And so I like the new technologies that we have, the new things that, you know, have come about in this new age that have allowed us to go worldwide.
Yes.
Radio.
Oh, yes.
That have
Praise
allowed
God.
Us to have these mics in front of us today. But some of the things that we have rejected, maybe we should go back and embrace and rethink. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that men will become lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, unthankful, disobedient to parents. They've become high-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's why people are rejecting the Bible. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting receiving what people say when they're evangelizing and being witnesses. They're rejecting that because we've got technology. We've got all of these things, and we've become high-minded in that. And we're rejecting our older generation. And that makes me sad. We're rejecting the ways of Scripture. We're rejecting those things. And that really makes me sad, because we can learn a lot. Titus 2 talks about the older, more mature women
teaching the younger,
mm-hmm. and the younger are rejecting the older generation.
And to the detriment of the entire body of Christ, not to mention our churches, because mm-hmm. if we take in a lower standard with each generation, then pretty soon we will have totally wiped out the need in our lives for Jesus Christ, which we know is a fallacy and a lie. So today, I think probably in wrapping up, we need to say, because we are free from sins and sin and self and selfishness and the world system and Satan, that we need to say, I'm going to choose to start to live the eternal creature in true spirituality.
Mm-hmm. That God created
that
us
God
to
has
be.
Created. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, we do have some teaching handouts on the website. We have a handout called In Christ, and we also have a Romans handout on there that you can look at that give you more information on who we are in Christ, and maybe help you to rethink that mindset, allowing you to learn who you are in Christ. Until next time, this is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.